Sporty greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Well, we begin the show today with a follow-up on a story that's been playing out in twists and turns over the past 24 hours. Of course, I'm talking about Neymar's move from Barcelona to Paris Saint-Germain. The latest development, La Liga has reportedly rejected the €222 million transfer fee for Neymar, releasing a statement that reads, quote, "We can confirm that the legal representatives of the player, Neymar, came to La Liga to deposit the clause and that it has been rejected. This is all the information we can give at the moment." Now, La Liga president Javier Tebas previously questioned Paris Saint-Germain's finances, even going as far as accusing them of quote-unquote financial doping. What remains to be seen is if this new wrinkle will derail Neymar's move to Paris or simply delay it. Meanwhile, some Barcelona fans aren't waiting to express their unhappiness with the star's departure, and they're using barbecue grills to show it. Photos and videos are circulating on social media that show some fans burning their Neymar jerseys as a sign of protest against the star. Fans also aren't waiting to begin their speculation about who might replace Neymar after he leaves. And some of those potential players have some Africa connections. Among the names floating around the internet, Frenchman Ousmane Dembele, the Dortmund forward whose mother is Mauritanian and Senegalese and whose father hails from Mali. And another rumored addition to Barcelona, Kylian Mbappe, the French-born striker of Cameroonian heritage who currently plays for AS Monaco. Well, another major story we're following today, this time from the world of boxing. Vladimir Klitschko, the former heavyweight champion from Ukraine, announced on Thursday his retirement from professional boxing in a video posted to his website. He says that after 27 years in boxing, he wants to pursue other career interests that he's developed over the years, from training other athletes, to building on his business ventures, to helping others in need.
At some point in our lives, we need to, or just want to, switch our careers and get ourselves ready for the next chapter and chart a new course toward fresh challenges. Obviously, I'm not an exception to this. And now is my turn.
Klitschko leaves the ring with a record of 64 wins, 5 losses, and an impressive 53 knockouts. But he leaves behind the chance for a much-discussed and much-speculated-about potential rematch with British boxer Anthony Joshua. Reaction to the retirement has been flooding in on social media, with many praising Klitschko's long and successful career and wishing him the best in his future endeavors. And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports give Vladimir Klitschko a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out and congratulate him on this new chapter in his life.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks very much, Heather. And on that note, let's take a look at African athletics. Kenya will be looking for another strong performance at this year's IAAF World Championships, set to begin August 4th in London. At the 2015 World Championships in Beijing, Kenya topped the medals table for the first time with 7 gold, 6 silver, and 3 bronze. But this year, Kenya suffered a setback. Earlier this week, as we told you here on the Sunny Side of Sports, 2-time gold medalist and world record holder in the 800 meter, David Rudisha, announced that he will not be participating in the event due to a strained quad muscle. But even with Rudisha's absence, there are a number of African athletes who can shine on the track in London. My VOA colleague Sonny Young asked track and analyst Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse to give a preview of some of those top African runners to watch this week in London. But they began their conversation with a very forward-looking question. Could Africa again make its mark on the world of athletics as a future host of the World Championships?
Well, as we know, the World Championships are booked through 2021 at the very least. But I think with the event Nairobi put on just a few weeks ago, I think they've really shown that they can, not only that they can put on an event of this caliber, but that the spectators will turn out. And one of the things that these World Championships get judged by, it's not just the quality of the performances on the track. It's also that the stands are full, that the stadium is full, that the atmosphere is exciting, and the spectators turn out and that they care about what they're seeing. And all of that happened in Nairobi. They had packed stands. They had excited crowds. They had people who appreciated what they were seeing, not just the long-distance events either, not just the traditional Kenyan events, but even the sprints, the throws, the jumps that are not traditional strengths for the Kenyans. It's not like watching distance races in Jamaica.
Another fantastic run last year in Rio de Janeiro by the South African Wade Van Niekerk.
It was amazing. I mean, it was quality athletes that I competed against. It was a very, very challenging experience coming out here 3 days back-to-back racing each other. And yeah, I'm just grateful that I can tick off the world record under my name. It's a real blessing.
He was in what is usually regarded as tactically the worst lane, the far outside lane in the 400 meters. He runs 43.03 seconds, and now he'll be defending his title in London. Your thoughts on Van Niekerk?
Van Niekerk is the master, after that race in Rio, is the master of turning a disadvantage into an advantage. He ran his own race. You're right, in lane 8, he could not see any of his competitors. He couldn't see how anybody else was doing. So he just stayed in his own head. He executed his own plan, and it turned out to just that he was ready for a great race. There's two things about Van Niekerk. There's two sides of his coin. On the one hand, when you run a race like that, I don't even know if it's fair to expect an athlete to do anything close to that ever again. That's a career in 43 seconds. But the other thing about Van Niekerk, though, is that I noticed after the games were through and some of the spectators were trickled down on the track, they were taking pictures at the finish line and they were taking them in lane 8. They were not going into lane 1. They were not going to lane 4 to be Usain Bolt. They were in lane 8. To me, that says that Van Niekerk has captured the imagination of the athletic spectators and the athletics fans in a way very few athletes get to do. I can only think of a few other athletes in my time watching the sport who have captured the imagination of the spectators the way he did last year. And so in that way, seeing him come out and try, even if he never does that 43 seconds again, seeing him come out and try is something special by itself. And he's going to have the crowd behind him in a way that very few other athletes will get to claim.
Parker, South Africa will have another Olympic champion competing in London, Caster Semenya. In fact, Athletics South Africa says Semenya will be competing in 3 events, The 800 meters, probably her specialty. The 1500 meters and the 4x400 meters team relay. Does that surprise you, Parker, that she'll be competing in three events?
I'm not at all surprised to see her in the relay. I think that Athletics South Africa would be short-sighted not to use her there with the raw speed that she's got, the closing speed she displays over the second lap of the 800. They would be foolish not to include her in the relay. I think it's interesting to see her in other events just because I think that she's going to find more of a challenge when she leaves her strength. The 800 is a race that balances itself very well between the endurance and tactics of the longer distance races and just the sheer guts and strength of the sprints. If she goes up, she's going to find herself in a place where she can be outfoxed, where she has to use tactics and use her head a lot more to run smart races, not necessarily fast ones. And when she goes down, she's going to be facing up to a lot of very strong athletes who are, the saying is, if you know 400 meters by the inches, if you know how many strides it takes for you to get around the track in your lane, these are people who know that track, every pebble of the tartan going around. So I think the 400 is going to be ferociously competitive for her.
Caster Semenya will be bidding for her third world title at 800 meters. Her first world championships back in 2009 in Berlin, Parker, overshadowed to some extent because of the gender controversy. Do you see that kind of dying down with Semenya, or is that cloud still over her?
I think that it has died down some. I think that in the 8 years since that race, I think that the general public and certainly the press has become a lot better educated about what gender really means, about the biology and the gray area, understanding that it is not as polar as we imagine it to be. And I do still think that there is a lot of, you know, again, gray area. I do still think that there's an open question about the fair way to allow athletes who are intersex in some way. And also, to be fair, nobody has access to Semenya's medical records. We don't actually know what kind of condition she may have, but she serves as a sort of a blank slate against which people project all of their ideas about hypothetical intersex athletes. And so there's still a lot of hypotheticals. There's still a lot of open questions about how we should allow athletes to compete who may not be as clearly male or female. How can we be fair to them, but yet also be fair to the athletes they need to compete against? It's not an easy question to answer. I'm not sure that there are right answers. So I see that as the sort of thing that we're certainly going to be discussing for a long time to come. I just hope that we don't have to argue about it, and we don't have to demonize athletes like Semenya, who just wants to run.
Tomorrow, we'll continue Sonny's conversation with Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse with a look at some of the American runners who hope to find success next week in London and the impact of performance-enhancing drugs on the sport. And an update now on the City Open, Washington, D.C.'s hometown tennis tournament, and some big upsets last night as two of the tournament's top male players are out. Frenchman Gaël Monfils, the world number 22 and defending City Open champion, lost last night to Yuki Bhambri of India, 3-6, 6-4, 5-7. And a big setback for world number 20 Nick Kyrgios. The Australian was forced to retire in his match against American Tenny Sandgren after suffering a shoulder injury. The crowd was none too happy with Kyrgios' retirement, the third match in a row that he's ended early because of injury, and actually booed him off the court at the end of the match. But one player getting a much better reaction from the crowd was world number 8 Alexander Zverev of Germany. The 20-year-old survived a tight three-set match against Jordan Thompson of Australia, 4-6, 6-3, 7-6. At a post-match press conference, I asked Zverev about the crowd reaction here in Washington and how it helped him pull out the victory.
No, I really love the crowd in D.C. They're always involved in the tennis, and I think they always quite enjoy coming back and supporting all of us. And you know, play here in the past 2 years, I played pretty well, and obviously it helps every single time to play in such a great atmosphere. And I think, you know, they enjoy matches like that, and I think we as players, we really appreciate it as well.
On the women's side, only two of the tournament's top 10 seeds have fallen so far, and both of them are American. On Monday, third seed Lauren Davis lost in straight sets to Belarusian Arina Sabalenka. And last night, eight-seeded American Christina McHale fell to Canadian Eugenie Bouchard 6-7, love 6. The action continues throughout this weekend, with the women's final set for Saturday, August 5th, and the men's final following on Sunday, August 6th. I'm Andrew Palcheski in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is our moment. We are speaking out to end malaria.
This is Didier Drogba. Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Sleep under an insecticide-treated mosquito net every night. Go to a health center at the first sign of fever for testing and appropriate treatment.
Join me. United, we can beat malaria.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 1730 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time,
with David Bandy.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And speaking of Facebook, joining me now in the studio is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard, who's here to talk about all the latest trends on social media in the sports world. Welcome,
indeed.
Doug.
Well, thanks so much for having me back. And sad news about Monfils. I have loved watching that guy play for years. I like his style of play. He seems like a genuinely nice guy. So sorry to hear that.
He's quite a character and an acrobat around the court. You see him jumping all over the place, diving for balls to try to get them. So unfortunately, will not be defending his title this year at the City Open.
Well, let's start with something that's getting a lot of attention on social media. And it's bad news, at least bad news for Charlie Hustle. So Pete Rose, who for many years was known with the nickname Charlie Hustle, one of the most awarded, I think, hitters in Major League Baseball ever. I think he still actually holds the MLB record for the number of total number of hits. Anyway, he's had a checkered career despite all of his talent, and he was to have been named or put on the Philadelphia Wall of Fame. Fans voted him in as the winner this year, but then it came out, news came out, that he apparently had sexual relations with an underage girl back in the mid-70s. She was a minor, and so the Philadelphia Phillies have canceled their plans. There's going to be no Pete Rose night at the ballpark. There's going to be no Pete Rose plaque put on the Wall of Fame, as they call it. Not even handing out the bobbleheads. I don't know what they're going to do with 10,000 Pete Rose bobbleheads, but except maybe melt them. I'm not sure. But so tough news, and so a lot of people on Twitter talking about that. I'm just looking here. A lot of people being very critical. As you know, social media can, you know, call out that in people. Just when you think, Anthony Jeselnik writes, just when you think Pete Rose couldn't get any lower, he admits to sex with a 15-year-old in the 1970s. Totally redeeming himself, he says, he adds sarcastically. Let's see, Stephen Ziegler, Pete Rose may be the only cause that unites old white guys more than Trump did. But Mark Smith actually comes to his defense. He says, Mark Smith writes or tweets out, how can there be a Hall of Fame without Pete Rose? The greatest hitter on the field play, should be the factor only. So some defenders coming to him, and other critics really kind of taking it to him. Of course, Pete Rose, as you may remember, was implicated in a, well, he was convicted, basically, and admitted to betting on teams when he was a manager at the, for the Cincinnati Reds. He even bet on his own team.
That is a big no-no in sports, but especially Major League Baseball holds that to a very high standard.
Yes.
And that is what has kept him out of the Hall of Fame. Otherwise, one of the best careers, as you said, in Major League Baseball, but is not a member of Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame because of that betting scandal.
It's been tough for him. Well, let's take a look at some others. One or two of these you brought to my attention. So Tiger Woods, you know, has been sort of outside of the public view. He's been having some difficult times of his own. And I think just kind of trying to get himself back on track, his life back on track, maybe his game as well. And so it's been pretty quiet from him lately. But recently he was in the Bahamas. He was working out at a gym. And two people... two guys, I think Canadians, saw him in the gym and quick took a picture of him and sent it out on Instagram with the headline, look, I just found a tiger in the gym. This is Ollie St. John who sent that out via Instagram. Now, I'm not most up on Instagram. It all still kind of confuses me, I'll be honest with you. But anyway, it's something of a return to him. For him, and I would expect that maybe, you know, in the coming weeks and months ahead, he'll be working, Tiger Woods, that is, with, you know, some professional PR consultants and might slowly try to ease himself back into social media channels as well.
Yeah, and the fact that he was spotted in the gym, I think, speaks to the fact that he wants to return to golf and get back into that physical shape after those personal problems with drug addiction and other things that he's dealt with. So hopefully all the best for Tiger. Hopefully that's a good sign for him that he's back and will be back on the course soon.
Yeah. It's been a bit of a tough course for him lately. So we'll wait and see and, you know, wish him all the best. I had another one that was really kind of a fun story, but I think that's going to have to wait for tomorrow. I think we're rapidly running out of time.
We are.
But, I'm going to leave it there.
But it's a good IAAF story, is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that tomorrow with part two of Sonny's interview. That'll be a good one tomorrow. Thank you very much, Doug.
You bet.
And that wraps up the August 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair Al-Tayeb. And thank all of you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski here in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States has partnered with the United Nations Foundation's Girl Up campaign, Intel Corporation, Google, and other partners to lead the third annual Women in Science Girls STEAM Camp to enable girls to study the science, technology, engineering, arts, and design, and mathematics fields. This year's two-week camp is taking place in Malawi, following a 2016 camp in Peru and a 2015 camp in Rwanda. Almost 100 high school girls from six African countries, Malawi, Rwanda, Uganda, Liberia, Tanzania, Zambia, and from the United States, have convened for a two-week program to increase their skills in the STEAM fields. In addition, the program is designed to increase the campers' leadership skills and networking opportunities. The curriculum includes coding, app development, engineering, robotics, micro and molecular biology, and satellite mapping. Throughout the duration of the camp, the girls will share their diverse, multicultural experiences and perspectives, forming friendships and connections that will help them to develop both personally and professionally. It was my first time seeing a diverse group of girls who barely knew each other, empowering each other, not because they are best friends, but because they realize they have one common feature. They are all girls and want each other to be successful, wrote a young counselor from the 2015 Rwanda camp. The U.S. Department of State created the program to empower women and girls in the STEAM fields, help overcome the gender imbalance in those fields, and to prevent and respond to gender-based violence. The Department of State believes that education of women and girls, including expanding opportunities in science and technology, can help create a safer, more prosperous, and secure world by promoting economic growth and enabling women to drive innovation. During this time of rapid technological development, providing women and girls with access to high-tech resources, like-minded peers, impactful business connections, and inspiring mentors will empower young women to enter the STEAM fields. Women in both developing and developed countries represent tremendous promise for economic growth and prosperity, President Donald Trump recently said at a women's entrepreneurship finance event in Hamburg, Germany. When more women participate in the workforce, the world economy will grow, and millions of people will be lifted out of poverty. Empowering women is a core value that binds us together.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll preview the August 8th Kenyan presidential race between incumbent Uhuru Kenyatta and former Kenyan Prime Minister Raila Odinga. The latest public opinion polls say the ballot is too close to call. That's on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Malaria kills thousands of people each year, but there are some simple things you can do to protect your family. If you can, put screens in your windows. A simple screen can keep disease-carrying mosquitoes out of your home. If you go outside, wear light-colored clothing and long pants and long sleeves, especially when it is dark and mosquitoes are most active. After it rains, empty all containers of standing water. The water in just one discarded tire can become a breeding ground for thousands of mosquitoes. Make sure your home is clear of debris and anything that holds water, including discarded cans, water containers, and rubbish. Empty containers that livestock drink from regularly so that mosquitoes cannot breed there.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.